that it swallowed up, paid the price in full for sin, and overcame death. Powerful. All righty, kids, if you're ready for Sunday school, be dismissed. If you have your offering, come put it in the offering, the giving well, and what's he doing? We're going to be starting in 1 Chronicles this morning. 1 Chronicles. We don't preach out of that book a lot, do we? 1 Chronicles. Chapter 16. Wouldn't it be great to be a child again? Oh, no bills to pay, no responsibility. The worst thing your parents say no. Ooh. Look at your neighbor and say, he's still God. When we look at the world around us in the news, it can be scary. It's why I'll be honest, I keep up with what's going on some, but I just do not saturate myself in the news anymore. I don't believe half of what I'm hearing to begin with. And the other half doesn't really matter because he's still God. And so as I look around all the negativity of the world and what's happening in in society, and we got corrupt politicians, we got wicked leadership, we got world leaders that are wanting to kill us and destroy us, and we got economic downfalls, and we got moral collapses, and we got all these issues, and we get so enraged and mad. Me and Dad was talking. Dad made it at Easter dinner. Dad made a comment. He's so right. The only way we knew anything about each other 20 years ago was how? How did we know each other 20 years ago? You had to talk to each other, right? Talk, not stalk. Man, we could find out everything about everybody. I know that Allison got a new haircut before she came to church because it's on Facebook. I know Carrie ate at me Pablo's because it's on Facebook. I know Michael. Can I announce the announcement at the church? Is that okay? It's okay, Mom? Everybody okay? Okay. I found this out on Facebook before I found out in person. But Michael York, stand up, Michael, has accepted. He's been, several colleges have, he's been applied to, and several he accepted them. But he has chosen. He has a 4-year full scholarship, completely paid for ride at UNC Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So proud of you. That is awesome. But guess how I found out first? Facebook. Nobody calls me. Hey, Pastor James, I want to tell you, before I put it on Facebook, because you're my preacher, guess what? The whole world's got to find out at the same time. It's amazing what we see on Facebook. And so we're in this world where we need instant gratification. We've lost communication skills. My daughter, she tells on or not, it's okay. My daughter's got a boyfriend. Okay, I say that right. Got a boyfriend. All right. Well, they were going out for a couple of weeks. He was coming picking her up, like young men are supposed to do. Young men, if you're not taking care of your girls, then break up with them. You don't deserve them. All right, young men, just saying. Go take care of your woman, pick her up, pay for her date. Don't make her pay for yours. So anyway, he'd been coming for a couple of 2-3 weeks. Picking her up, taking her to dinner, and take her out to eat and go bowl, whatever. And 2-3 weeks went by. And then one day she says, we're going out now. He asked me out. I know you've been going out. No. He asked me out. Honey, you've been going out for 3 weeks. Apparently the new terminology for the millennials, I don't know, is it's official now. We're officially going out. Like steady back in my day. Okay. Actually, that's your... Actually, that's your grandparents' day. We didn't call it steady. Of course, we didn't call it hooking up either. But, yeah, going with each other. Our generation, we was going with each other. I remember mom would say, where you going? Because I share that. I'm going with this girl. Where are you going? Yeah. So anyway. So Ashley is steady, just so you know. So anyway. But It's just weird how communications have changed. Anyway, it has nothing to do with anything I'm really saying, I don't guess. But the point is this. Through all of this junk, he's still God. And I want our focus this morning. We read these verses. These are powerful verses that remind us of the supreme power of God and how he's really in control. He's head, and he's over all things, no matter what we see. No matter what defeat tries to come our way, no matter what pain comes in our lives, no matter what storms attack our lives, no matter what giant stands in front of us, he's still God. So let's read some verses, and we're going to be in 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 31. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. How can the earth rejoice, church? Let every man say among the nations, here's how we rejoice. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. It doesn't matter who's in natural leadership. It doesn't matter who the president, who the bishop, who the commissioners. All of this stuff is part of our civic life that we have to live, yes. But when it comes down to it, it is God that reigneth. It is God who's in full control of everything happening. I say this all the time. It's like little Hudson depends on Dee for everything right now. Your little boy depends on her for everything. He can't do a whole lot on his own. I mean, he needs his mama. He trusts his mama. You going to feed me? Of course, we still got kids that do that. You going to feed me? You know, you going to take care of me? You know, you going to help me go to sleep? You going to, you know, pick me up? You going to put my seatbelt on? You going to tie my shoes? He trusts her to do everything because she's mama. And mama can do anything. Remember them old mama jokes we growing up with? Your mama's so big. You know, all them jokes. Your mama's so ugly, she had to feed you with a slingshot. Remember that old joke? So, you know, and we get mad about that. Don't we talk about my mama? We love our mama. She's not the devil. We love our mama. Well, you know what? God reigneth. God rules. So why are we so afraid of what's going to happen if we trust that God is in control of what's going to happen? So I rest in that. We let too many things rattle our lives. And most of the things, I don't care what anybody says, most of the things, a lot of the things, we really can't control. So we just trust God. I don't like paying taxes no more than the next man. You pay tax on everything. The thing that don't make no sense to me still is you buy a car, you pay tax when you buy it, right? Then you got to pay tax every year on a car you don't pay tax on. That makes no sense. You pay tax everywhere you go. You got sales tax, state tax, federal tax, income tax. You got retirement tax. You got Social Security tax. You got all this stuff that comes out. I don't agree with it. But guess what? I can't change it. I can say all I want. I'm not going to pay my taxes. Guess where I'm going to end up? Not your preacher. Because I'm going to be locked up behind bars. Because I've got to do what's in place. So I just trust God. Okay, God. Got to pay taxes. I got this attacking me. I got this issue. I've got this problem, and I have no real control over it. I can't control what's going to happen from Korea or, you know, or Germany or France or Iraq or Iran. We have no control of that. But boy, God does. God's proving that by protecting Israel. I say this all the time. Israel's a little slice of the world, little bitsy slice. Most of our states are bigger than Israel. And here's this little country called Israel in the middle of all these big bad wolves for all these years. And Israel's still on the map. Israel is still in place. They have not been destroyed. And here's why. Because the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Not the Islamic extremist. God reigns. And there can nothing move the hand of God. Next verse. We're still in Chronicles chapter 29. Chapter 29 verses 10. Starting with verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Hallelujah. Everything is God's. And we stress and we fret about this and about that, and we become so discouraged. And I know there's real problems. There's things that really attack our lives. I know there's life-changing situations. There's, you know, disease that hits our body. There's divorce that hits our family. There's We lose people that we love through death. Those things, we lose a job. Those things really impact our lives. But your job is not your king. Even your family is not your king. Jesus is your king, and he reigns over all, and he is able to provide for you that which you're missing or that which you're lacking. He's still able to bring into your path, into your life, exactly what you need at the right time if we trust him as our king, because that's what kings do. Kings provide for the kingdom, and he is our king, and we're part of his kingdom. Verse 11. All is yours, your kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. David is acknowledging as he's dedicating the temple, Lord, your head above all. You're bigger than me, King David. You're bigger than all the nations around me. You're bigger than all the powers of the earth. You are bigger and you are greater. Everything, God, belongs to you. And your head over all. Both riches and honor, they come from who? Him. And thou reignest over all. In thy hand is power and might. In thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. When we magnify God, magnify means to enlarge, to make bigger. As we magnify God, our strength begins to come back. If you're weak today, you're just tired, man. I've been there. I know. I'm tired. Been telling Melanie, we have got to get away because I need a vacation like yesterday. I know what it's like to be tired. I know what it's like to be burned out. I know what it's like to be overcome. I know that. But as we begin to magnify God, as we begin to really see God as who he is, all of a sudden our strength is restored because we realize, man, God, you're bigger than my weakness and you're bigger than my all the things that I'm lacking. You're bigger than the void in my life. You're bigger than the emptiness. You're bigger than the attacks. You're bigger than the giants. You're bigger than the mountains. You're bigger than whatever's coming against me. So as I magnify you, God, and make you bigger, my problem looks smaller. That's what magnifying God does. And he is able to give strength to all of us today, no matter where you're at in life or what you're battling. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. Psalms chapter 47. We've got several scriptures. Psalms 47. And if you can't, you can jot them down and go back to them later if I go too fast for it, because I got several I want to get through. Psalms 47, verse 6 and 7. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. In other words, know what you're worshiping. Know who you're worshiping. You're king over all creation. You're king over everything. The Bible says everything visible and invisible is made by God. And he took the things not seen and made those things which are seen. As we look at creation, we look at everything created around us, we need to see the hand of God that he's over it all. I love North Carolina because you can go from the beach to the mountains in one state. It's amazing to see the difference in North Carolina. You can be in the beautiful little town of Boone, 4,000 feet above sea level, and then, you know, 4 or 5 hours later, you can be on the coast of North Carolina at sea level. You've got the oceans, and you got the mountains, and then you got us squished in between. It's a beautiful state. And when you see those mountains of Boone where it's snowing up there, and you go to the beach, and it's a hurricane at the beach, you see complete two extremities of the power of God. And you see that beauty and all that he made. He's still God. No matter what you're battling today, it doesn't change. He's still God. And he can supernaturally work things out. He can change your life. He can change your circumstances. He can move that thing out of your way and position you exactly where he wants you to be in his timing. Trust his timing, not ours. Trust his timing. Psalms chapter 93, verse 1. 93 Psalms. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Wherefore he hath girded himself. The world also is established. Look at this. It's established and it cannot be moved. How many science fiction movies? We got any sci-fi nerds in here? Yeah, a few of us. How many movies have been made that the world will be destroyed? Here comes a meteor. It's doomsday. The sun's moving closer to the earth, and people are melting away like the Wicked Witch and Wizard of Oz. They're melting. The moon's going to slingshot. Man, I got to share this. We had a service years ago at the fire department. And if you were at this service, and remember this, I apologize. But we had there's a preacher there visiting. He wasn't preaching. He just happened to be there visiting. I had the service. But I recognized him at the end, like I should do. A good preacher recognizes another man of God. Is that not right, Brother Roger? You say, hey, man of God, you got something to say? You ain't always got to do that. Okay? Note to self. Use some sense sometimes. Hello, James. Anybody in there? So this guy comes up. I said, you want to give a, you know, he got up there. I got kids in the fire department, little kids, you know, Tay's age and stuff. They were crying in the service. And it wasn't because of the Holy Ghost. And so he gets up there. This was when George W. Bush was in office. I remember that because he brought that up. And there's a gravitational pull between the moon and the earth. And it's like a slingshot, they're saying. And the moon's going to smack against the earth and destroy the earth. Now, I just preached a message of edification. You know what I'm saying? Yes, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're King and you're Lord, and we love you. And then he comes up. The moon's going to hit the earth. Do y'all remember that? I was like, you remember that, Rodney? He sure did. He said George Bush will be shot and killed. He prophesied that. Well, that didn't happen, as we can see. I mean, hopefully it never will happen, but it didn't happen when he said it would happen. And I've got kids. There were kids actually crying, scared. I'm like, look, the Lord has established the earth. Do you really think that God's going to slingshot the moon? I'm just tired of Gordon's mess. Go kill all them people. Ain't the God that we serve? Man, he made this creation. It's his handiwork. The Bible says the first day, right? He created this. The second day, he created that. The third day, he created that. The fourth day, he created that. And he said, all is good. He looked at what he had created. It's good. When you look in the mirror, say, it's good. God, you're good. Whoo, you're really good on me. Hallelujah. Jesus, you are really good on me. Remember that Andy Griffith episode where that pretty woman coming to town was doing nails for the men? And old Andy says something about he looked at her and says something about nature's been real good to you. Mighty, mighty good to you. Oh, me. The earth is creation. It cannot be moved because God's got it in place. Did you realize, even science has said this, that the levels of the water are consistent with the levels they've always been since they've tracked the records of level water? You know, don't get caught in the polar bears are going to die. And there's going to be a big, you know, monsoon and doomsday thing. It just washes us all away. Look, God reigneth. I trust my King more than that. I trust my Lord more than that. I trust that I'm in his hands and he's going to watch over me and protect me. And when he told that sun to stand there, it has still been there 93 million miles away from the earth all of this time. And when he said, I'm making a light by day and a light by night, that moon that comes up that we see so beautiful, different colors, different shapes, different sizes. You got the half moon, full moon, big, big moon, orange moon, blue moon, banana moon, all that moon. All of that. God done that. And you know how that moon shines? It only shines because the sun shines. It is the reflection of the light. The moon itself has no light, but it's reflected of the light, which illuminates it. That's our lives. We have no light except the light that lives in us. And the light of Jesus lights our lives. So don't be afraid of that. I was so upset with that guy, sir. I cannot believe. I was like, my Lord, it's the last time I'll ask another preacher to come up and say something. All right. Psalms 145. Verse 11, I'm sorry, 95, yes, skipped one. 95, verse 3. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Man, these verses are so empowering, aren't they? to really see who God is, King of all, ruler of all, created all, over all. And then we're so discouraged and worried about what tomorrow holds. It's the old song, because he lives, right? I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know who holds the future. Man, that's powerful words that we should be living by. We're so afraid. Now, I know we have our own anxieties and own issues. We all got things. I'm not saying you go out today and say, you know what? God's my maker. He's Lord over all. I'm going to go to a rattlesnake den and just jump right in there and say, I ain't afraid of nothing because he made them rattlesnakes. He can make them list. I seen that video you shared, Bruce. Oh, my Lord. About that serpent handling church that you tagged your sister in. You ever been to one of those serpent handling churches? Ever? Huh? There's a video Bruce tagged. I watched it. Oh, my Lord. I don't know. Where's that church at? Do you remember? Wasn't that where Bruce is going to be close to? But these, they had the drums going, the organ going, and they got these snakes. They're poisonous snakes. And they're holding them like this, and they're dancing. Now, I'm all for dancing, but not with no snake. Holy Ghost hits you, leave the snakes at home. Dance all you want, but leave the snakes at home. Sitting there, and they were holding a snake, and they're putting it around their neck, and they're holding its mouth, and then the preacher puts it down on the floor and actually stands on top of it, because, you know, you can tread up on serpents and all that stuff. Man, that's just ignorant foolishness. It's not what he's talking about. Yes, he's God of all creation. He's God of all things. And guess what a rattlesnake is made to do and provoke? Bite your hind end. That's what they're made to do. Wouldn't you, some 6'5" guy walking up, what would you do? That's right. You'd bite them too. It's their nature. And man, I watched that video. I'm like, oh my gosh, how do people really? And there are churches that really do that. Oh, boxes on the stage. Good to know that, Jewel. Yes, I know. Shh, we'll get you in a minute. Hang on. All right. Holy Ghost hits you fast, woman. All right. Psalms 145, verse 11. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. And then verse 13, look at this. The kingdom, your kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endureth throughout all generations. Me and Melanie went and watched a little movie last night because we had, you know, Ashley was on her little date, so we had a little time, and went and saw that movie, The Greatest Showman. Y'all seen that movie? The Greatest Showman. Anybody seen it? Man, nobody's seen it. Oh, okay. Is it talking about Barnum, the circus people? Just Barnum, how he started and all that. And how he went out and got all these people that looked a little bit different, you know? They looked different. And we were watching that movie, and Melly says he wouldn't have no problem today going out and picking some of these folks out. I'm serious. This setting was back in New York City back in the 20s, 30s, 40s. And I'm sitting there watching it, and here's where you know you're in a really different generation. When I'm looking at the screen, and the crowd in the movie's all, you know, throwing rocks at them and stuff because they call them freaks and they call them misfits. And me and I sitting there looking at them, I'm like, what's wrong with them? You know you've shifted generations when you're like, that kind of looks like what we live in now, honestly. But say that to say this. I love what it says here, that his dominion, his authority is through all generations. Every generation. This here, we're talking about David talking here, King David. But all these years later, the kingdom of God he's talking about, and the God he's talking about, is still God. And his kingdom is still here. His kingdom is still enduring. Don't think that the world and sin and society can take out or erase or eradicate or reverse or destroy what God has already set up. It's a done deal. It's finished. It's complete. Nobody's going to kick God off the throne. Nobody's, no matter how many people don't believe, us not believing doesn't mean it's not real. I mean, I could really have a rattlesnake up here, and if I told y'all that I did, y'all could believe all you want that I didn't. Okay, go ahead, believe it all you want. Hey, buddy, believe it all you want. Got you thinking now, don't I? Wait, just because we don't believe something doesn't mean it's not real. And so people can deny God, deny Jesus, deny the resurrection, deny heaven, deny eternal life, deny, you know, God's control, deny all this stuff. It doesn't make it not real. It endures through every generation. And what I said Wednesday night at the end is the Lord, you know, began to speak at the end of service Wednesday night that there is a mantle that will, that is, that, you know, Billy Graham passed away, a great dispensation of time ended. A great man of God is off the earth that was a, had a huge footprint, a huge impact. But that mantle will not hit the ground. It will set upon others to carry out the work. It will not fall void because messengers die year after year, generation after generation. We talk about great men throughout the generations that have come and gone, but the message of Jesus is still being preached. The message of God is still going forth. His mercy and grace, as they sung that song, is still climbing that mountain to find you. It's kicking that wall down to get to you. It's a reckless love. In other words, it's such a love that it has no kind of order of how it gets to you. It can even be chaotic because it doesn't make sense. See, we like things to make sense. We like things to be in order, but the love of God finds us in our disorder. It finds us in our chaotic moments. It finds us when we're distressed. It finds us when we're in a place we thought we would never be at. But yes, God finds us because we can't outrun it and we can't outhide it. And I don't care what anybody says, we can't outsin it because the grace of God is greater than all the sins of the world. And so that's a reckless love that finds us where we're at. It doesn't have to always make sense, but he finds us. And I'm thankful that he kicked down that wall. He climbed that mountain, and he found me, and he found my children, and he called their name. Thankful. Just a couple more verses. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. We see things come and go. We see trends come and go. We see fads come and go. I'm still waiting for the mullet to come back. All this stuff that comes and goes. The big hair, that came and gone. The go-go boots, way from my generation, but I heard people talk about it. Come and gone. You know, the hippie generation that was here is back with a vengeance. Don't get that, but it is. It's back with a vengeance. And so things come and things go, but God stays steadfast. And the grace and the mercy and the love of God and who he is does not change. His grace draws every generation. His love is for all people, no matter how they look or where they come from or what trend we're going through. Things come and things go, but the God is immovable, unshakable, and unchangeable. He's God. He's here to stay. When other things go, he's here to stay. He'll be the one to keep you when everything else fails. He'll be the one to be by your side when everyone else leaves. When you have no answers, he'll still talk to you. When you have nobody in your life, he's still right there with you. When you are so afraid and so discouraged and you're miserable inside and you think there's no more hope ever again in your life, you're just in a place of despair, he is there. He is faithful and he's still God. There's not an answer to why things happen and nobody can explain that. There's tragedy all over our world that happens. And I know it's hard and sometimes it's challenging to say, God, how could you allow that to happen? God, how did that happen? God, you're my King and you're my Lord, and it's not fair that they died. It's not fair that they're paralyzed. It's not fair that the family home was broken. It's not fair that I lost my job. It's not fair. A lot of things in life we can say that, but I know he's still God. And that's what I put my money on, God. Whatever happens, you're God, and I'm going to see you, and you made a place for me. No matter what happens on this earth, I know I'm with you. Think about the 12. All 12 disciples were martyred for the gospel. They were martyred. All 12 of the original disciples we read about were martyred. They were killed. They were executed for the cause of the gospel. These are 12 men that followed Jesus closely, that believed him, that preached in his name, that went out and laid hands on the sick and did a work for the Lord. And yet they were crucified. They were stoned to death. They were beheaded. They were put on an island, you know, for good, just, you know, a castaway to die alone. All of these men endured that for the cause of Christ. But remember what Stephen said when he was being stoned and they were beating him. He was transitioning from death to life. The Bible says he looked up and he saw Jesus standing there. I see Jesus standing there. He saw his Savior in death. He saw a premonition of his presence, knowing where he was going. We don't have to worry about tomorrow if our life's in Christ today. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about what's happening. We don't have to get so caught up and be afraid to do this and afraid to do this and afraid to do this and scared to come out of our homes and scared to do this. I want to tell you something else. I know there's a big issue with gun laws right now. And just as a record, it had nothing to do with the ministry whatsoever, but I am pro-gun. And I believe that person has a right to bear an arm. That's our constitutional right. And I'll tell you this, just so anybody knows, in case you're sticking here trying to hurt somebody, I'll let you know this real quick. We are not a gun-free zone. Just want you to know that. So, with that said, if they try to take people's guns and then make a mandate to surrender the guns or to make laws to restrict how we can use our guns, I want your faith to be not in the gun, but in the Lord. David had no spear for Goliath. David had no gun for Goliath. David had no armor for Goliath. David was not equipped with anything the world could give him except a slingshot. David destroyed a giant with a slingshot. Gideon was in the midst of 150,000 Midianite soldiers surrounding him. He was outmanned 150,000 to like 10,000 of his men. And yet God made a way where they escaped and even went after and destroyed the Midianites and won the battle. How does 10,000 defeat 150? God. That's how it happens. How does Samson kill 300 people? Not with a gun, but with the jawbone of Eeyore. That's how he did it. 300 people were killed. If you lose your gun, Don, get a jawbone. Go to one of these grocery stores to sell jawbones. Go back to the meat department and say, I want one of them jawbones. Carry that thing around, anoint it with oil, say, in the name of Jesus, this is my new gun. Somebody come after me. Be like Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman. God, yeah, God's been around, yeah. God can use anything. Don't get discouraged and don't put your faith in your guns. Don't, and I'm going to say this, and I believe in protecting ourselves. I do, and I believe in being aware. I don't like my wife out at night, certain places by herself. I understand. I'm all about safety and being aware. But I'm not going to be living fear of what might happen whenever I know that God is my protector. And there are angels around me and my family. And I trust that. I trust that. So, he's God forever and ever. Two more verses of Revelation and we're done. Revelation. This is, we went started in Chronicles and we're going to end up in Revelations. Chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, which means we don't die, he's the first begotten, and we're to follow that. The prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Everybody read this next part together. And washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's the word of God. He hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was,
which is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. That's our God. He is God always. Always been and always will be. When the next president takes the White House, guess who's still on the throne? God. When the next person, you know, the next great quarterback of the NFL rises up, guess who's still on the throne? God. Whoever wins the Masters today, they ain't God. Whoever has the biggest church crowd in the world today, they ain't God. There is one Lord and Savior, and He's not going nowhere. And that's my confidence. He is my rock and my shield. He is my fortress in whom I trust. He is my present help in my time of trouble. That's my God. One more verse in Revelations, chapter 17 and 14. Revelation 17 and 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Nobody's going to beat my Jesus. Tom Brady's not the goat. My Savior is the Lamb. That's who my King is. And man, we put so much. Maybe I was having a little fun last night coming home. I was giving her scenarios. I do that sometimes. My thing, I don't know. About, I give her like three people. If you go see this person, this person, this person, who would you go pick? You know, if you could hug this person, if you could get a picture with this person, you know, just for fun. And so many times we, not Melanie, but so many times, well, a couple people she does. So many times we elevate, new kids, we elevate people. And we're like idol worship. If I had on that church sign a certain name would be here, appearing here Sunday morning, April the 8th, we'd be like the Washington Monument. We'd be outside with chairs and people standing. If I put certain names, and so-and-so is going to be here April, oh, my God. Oh, they're going to be there? They're going to be there? Oh, my gosh. And, you know, it could be whoever you're, you know, whoever you are. It could be an athlete. It could be a country singer. It could be a rock star singer. It could be, you know, whoever. It could be a politician. Whoever. Oh, man. Well, like Marjorie said when we opened up, Jesus is here. And He's the only King we should be bowing to. And the only one we should be calling Father. He's the one. And we should be so excited to worship together corporately. I know we don't have the cell phones going in the air and the candles and the lighters, you know. You know, we don't have all that going on. But we do have the light. And He is the one that we worship, and He is the one that we praise, because He's still God. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what you're battling, He is still God. You got a song kind of like that or anything you play? That'd be great. Go ahead and do that. That'd be good. That goes along. The great thing about our King this morning that each of you need to know is He can be your King as well. He can be your King. You don't have to do anything particular for Him to become your King. You just say, Lord, I want You to be my King. I need You, Lord. I need You. Everything else I've tried, and I need You. Nothing else has worked, God, and I know You're real, and I know You're alive, and I know You're forever. To know that God's forever and His kingdom goes on and on, when everything else passes, the Bible says that, right? This shall pass away, but My word shall never pass away. All of us in this room one day, unless the Lord returns while we're here, all of us in this room will have an appointment that we will cross over and not be on the earth anymore. We'll cross out of this body into our glorious body. Unless He returns first. But you know what? The message will keep going. And He's still King. Think about all the years that we have been on the earth. As Joe and Sharon, they used to teach kids up in Ohio. A big church up there had several hundred kids they were in charge of. And those kids now are all grown, and some have probably passed away. Some have probably left the earth. But that seed was sown. And that message is still going forth, even in Ohio. the message of Jesus is still going forth. Let's stand together and let's sing How Great Is Our God. He is great, and let's worship Him because He is a great God. He's our God. How great is our God. Leave here with that in your heart, that there's nothing greater than the God that I serve. There is no battle that can't be defeated by my God. There's no giant can't be slayed by my God. There's no path that can't be carved out by my God. There's no past that can't be forgiven by my God. There is nothing that can come against me that can stand. There's nothing that can prosper against my life if Jesus is my King. He puts His hands before me and surrounds me and trails me and is above me and surrounds all that I do, my goings and my comings, my going out and my coming in. He surrounds me, and I trust that He is enough and He's all that I need. And I am so thankful and grateful for that. Hallelujah. Y'all gonna be seated this morning. Get the usher to come up. Receive our morning offering this morning.
here come. Come on, David. Oh, okay. Sure. This is Doc's granddaughter. Yeah, Mariah, Doc's granddaughter. If y'all know if you heard all that or not, hang on just a minute, Mark, if you don't mind. Somebody broke in Mariah's house this morning at 7 o'clock. They were high on drugs and broke in. And the boyfriend woke up, held the guy at gunpoint. The cops got there. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was injured. And she was just giving praise for God for watching over the home. I mean, you're sleeping in your bed and that happens. I mean, that's a scary thing. Yeah, brand new babies in the house too. And so two children in the house. And so God watched over them, protected them. God reigns, just like in your situation with Kristup and Boone. God watched over them, and that could have just went really bad. And so thankful for God, because he's our protector. Our protector. Protector. Thank God for that. He is our protector. So thanks for sharing that, Dean. I'm glad she's okay. I'll send her a message later. So. All right. Father, we thank you for this service and your word. We thank you that you're King and your Lord for these beautiful verses, God, that even, hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, we're still reading, God, to encourage our lives in the 21st century where you're still God. You're still God in the 21st century, and we are thankful for that. We pray you bless this offering today, Lord, and use it for your glory, and just let the seed that's planted make a difference in the lives of those in this church and those that you're calling and drawing unto yourself. And let it bring change, healing, and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.